إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، سنأذن إن البخاري كتاب التوحيد، we're on the chapter باب قول الله تعالى السلام المؤمن. This particular chapter الإمام البخاري has entitled it with that section of the ayah from the Quran. And in fact, as you will have noticed, several of the chapter headings, the chapter titles, have been ayat of the Quran. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has purposely made the titles of the chapters purely ayat of the Quran. Why is that? As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he mentions, قوله باب قول الله تعالى السلام المؤمن. نحن إذا نظرنا إلى صنيع البخاري رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد وجدنا أنه يصدر غالبا الأبواب بآيات من القرآن. He says, if you examine what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari does, often he makes the titles of the chapters just ayat quoted. The ayah is the chapter title. Why is that? وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ مِنَ الْمُبْتَدِعَ مَنْ يَقُولُ. And that is because there are some innovators from the people of innovation who say, لَا نَقْبَلُ مِنْ أَدِلَّةِ الصِّفَاتِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مُتَوَاتِرًا وَلَا نَقْبَلُ أَخْبَارَ الْآحَادِ. Some of the people of innovation, they say that we will not accept anything to do with the names and attributes of Allah, the tawheed of the names and attributes, this topic. We will not accept any narrations, etc., regarding it, unless those narrations are mutawatir, narrated by multiple narrators in the levels of the chain, etc. And we will not accept narrations that are singular, narrations that have lesser in their number of narrators in the chain. Hence, فَأَرَادَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أن يعزز أخبار الآحاد التي يسوقها في الكتاب بآيات من القرآن. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari wanted to close that avenue of argument, because within these chapters are ahadith. Some of those ahadith may not be mutawatir, basically speaking that they've been narrated by multiple sources. Some narrations have multiple sources, multiple chains, multiple narrators. Some of the people of innovation say we'll only accept those types of narrations, and we won't accept the ahad where there are limited narrators and limited chains, etc. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, when he mentions the ahadith in these chapters, some of them may be from the category that are ahad, they're not at the level of mutawatir. So the innovators may turn around and say, those narrations we don't accept. Hence, Al-Imam al-Bukhari made the chapter headings under which he places those ahadith, ayat of the Quran. Because ayat of the Quran are, of course, mutawatir. They are, of course, mutawatir, well-known, narrated, multiple, the Quran. Hence, that would close the door to the innovator saying, that these evidences, these ahadith, we don't accept them because they aren't narrated in a multiple fashion. Al-Imam al-Bukhari is telling them, look at the chapter title. The chapter title that covers those ahadith and the topic of them, ayat of the Quran. Hence, this issue is something established in the Quran. So it is as if he is establishing the proof of what he is going to mention in this chapter by the title itself, making that an ayah of the Quran where no dispute can occur. No dispute can occur over it. So the chapter title is the ayah of the Quran where no dispute can occur regarding it. Then the ahadith which come under it, they are all supplemented together to give the final proof. فَأَرَادَ أَنْ يُعَزِّزَ أَخْبَارَ الْآحَادِ أَلَّتِي يَسُوقُهَا فِي الْكِتَابِ بِآيَاتٍ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ لِأَلَّا يَبْقَى عُذْرٌ لِمَنْ رَدَّ هَذِهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ أَوْ الصِّفَاتِ وَهَذَا مِنْ فِقْهِهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. So that would not leave any option, any case for any of the innovators to reject these evidences, because he has supplemented them, those ahadith, with the ayat of the Quran. Those names, like here it's about the names and attributes of Allah. So the innovators, when they see those ahadith, may say, we don't accept those ahadith because they are not at the certain level and the type we accept. So Al-Imam Al-Bukhari reaffirms those names and attributes that are going to be mentioned in the ahadith from ayat of the Quran. If they reject the names and attributes because they reject those ahadith, they cannot reject the names and attributes, the same ones, when they are mentioned in ayat of the Quran. They cannot reject them now, ayat of the Quran. So now you have ayat of the Quran mentioning those names and attributes, and you have ahadith. If they try to reject the ahadith, you say to them, the very same names and attributes are in the ayat of the Quran also. So you have no avenue of escape from this affair of the names and attributes of Allah.
Al-mubtadi'a alladhina yuhakkimuna al-aql wa yatalaqqawna aqidatahum fillahi min uqulihim yaqulun la naqbalu akhbar al-ahad fi bab as-sifat li'anna khabar al-ahad la yufidu illa adh-dhann. والعقيدة يجب أن تكون مبنية على اليقين وقد رد ابن القيم رحمه الله هذه القاعدة الباطلة بوجوه كثيرة في الصواعق المرسلة على غزو الجهمية المعطلة. That famous book of ابن القيم, where he refuted these people of innovation who use their intellects and their minds, give the priority to their intellects and their rationale and their logic over and above what is in the Quran. So these innovators, when they see the names and attributes of Allah in the Quran, if they can work it out in their mind, logically, intellectually, it fits with them, they'll accept. But when some names and attributes do not fit logically in their mind, intellectually, then they will twist and distort things until it will fit with their mindset. So their mind, their intellect has priority. And that is falsehood, and that is what leads to misguidance. Ahlul Sunnah, we say, تَقْدِيمُ النَّقْلِ عَلَى الْعَقْلِ. The texts are given priority over your intellects. Then he mentions, الشيخ الهيمين says, وهي جديرة بأن تكون مردودة والعجب أن هؤلاء يقبلون ما يؤلفه مشايخهم ويصلوا إليه من طريقه على وجه الآحاد ويعتقدون ما قاله شيوخهم ومقلدوهم مع أنها جاءت عن غير معصوم وبغير آحادي وبخبر آحادي مما يدل على أنهم متناقضون. Those very same innovators who say we don't accept these types of singular narrations, we want multiple narrations proof. Singular narrations, no proof. but their own aqidah and all of the stories and things they tell you of their beliefs, they have taken them from their scholars, from their scholars, from their scholars, upon a manner which is ahad in of itself, upon a manner which is singular narrations, not multiple. So you see the great contradictions in the people of innovation. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari here says the chapter heading, As-Salamu al-Mu'minu. As-Salam is one of the names of Allah. You hear often, Abdus Salam. As-Salam is one of the names of Allah. Wal-Mu'min is one of the names of Allah. Al-Mu'min min Asma'illah. والسلام في الأصل اسم مصدر من سلم والمصدر تسليم واسم المصدر عند علماء النحو ما كان بمعنى المصدر ولم يتضمن حروف المصدر فاسم المصدر من الكلام والسلام كلم وسلم من الكلام والسلام كلم وسلم. For those who understand the Arabic and the rules. The point being here though, As-Salam is one of the names of Allah. Al-Mu'min is one of the names of Allah. And the meaning of As-Salam, meaning the one who is free and sound of any type of deficiency or imperfection. Allah is free and sound and perfect from any type of deficiency or imperfection. As-salam, ay salim, min kulli aybin wa naqs. Hayatuhu laysa fiha naqs wala ayb. The life of Allah, the ever living, is upon perfection. No deficiency, no shortcoming, no any type of shortfall whatsoever. عِلْمُهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَقْصٌ وَلَا عَيْبٌ. The knowledge of Allah has no deficiency, has no fault within it whatsoever. قُدْرَتُهُ لَيْسَ فِيهَا نَقْصٌ وَلَا عَيْبٌ. The ability of Allah, absolute perfection, might and majesty, no deficiency, no imperfection. سَمْعُهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَقْصٌ وَلَا عَيْبٌ. His hearing, absolute perfection, no deficiency, no shortcoming, no fault. وَبَصَرُهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ نَقْصٌ وَلَا عَيْبٌ هَلُمَّ جَرَّى. And his seeing is upon perfection, no criticism, no shortcoming, no fault, no deficiency. And like that you can carry on with all of the attributes of Allah, that he is upon perfection, absolutely sound from any type of deficiency or shortcoming or any type of fault. Absolutely sound from all of that. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. As for the name Al-Mu'min, another one of the names of Allah. مِنَ الْأَمْنِ لِأَنَّهَا مِنَ الْفِعْلِ آمَنَ أَوْ أَمَّنَ. وَمَعْنَى الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُصَدِّقِ لِرُسُولِهِ بِمَا جَاءُوا بِهِ. The one who testifies to the truthfulness of what the messengers came with. Allah testifies to the truthfulness of what the messengers were sent with. لَكِنِ اللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ إِلَيْكَ أَنزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ. Allah testifies to that which He has revealed upon you. Testifies to that which He has revealed upon you. He has revealed it upon knowledge. So Al-Mu'min, the meaning of it, the one who testifies to the truthfulness of this revelation of what He has sent the messengers with. Also another meaning of it is, the one who gives safety and security. Al-Mu'min, another meaning of it, the one who gives and provides safety and security to his servants. The one who gives and provides safety and security to his servants. وَمُؤْمِن بِمَعْنَى مُؤَمِّن. أي يُؤَمِّنُ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْأَمَانِ وَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِن. الْمُؤْمِنُ لَهُ الْأَمْنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْفَزَعِ الْأَكْبَرِ. The believers, they are the ones who will receive that protection from Allah. They are the ones who will receive that safety and security from Allah. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who have iman, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, then they do not mix their iman with ظلم. Those are the ones, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ, they are the ones who have that safety and security. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, and they are the rightly guided. Those who have iman and then do not mix their iman with ظلم. What is the meaning of the ones who do not mix their iman with ظلم? When this ayah was revealed, the Sahaba, they became concerned. The Sahaba became concerned when this ayah was revealed, that the safety and the security and the guidance from Allah is only for those who have iman, then do not mix it with them. The Sahaba became concerned. They said, who from amongst us does not ever do some type of dhulm, oppression? All of us, we fall into oppression now and again. So they said, who from amongst us could ever achieve what this ayah is saying, that the peace, the safety, the security will be for those of iman who do not do oppression, do not mix their iman with oppression? They said, who from amongst us doesn't do that? All of us fall into that now and again. So they were concerned that they would not achieve this ayah. They would not be, the ayah would not be applicable to them. So then the Prophet ﷺ explained to them. He said to them, لَيْسَ كَمَا تَظُنُّونَ, it is not what you think. Have you not heard the statement of who? Luqman. And what was the statement? إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that indeed shirk is a great ظلم. Because ظلم, it is split up into three types. الظلم ينقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام. Three types of ظلم. The ظلم, the oppression, which occurs between a person and his Lord. بين العبد وربه. Between a person and his Lord. That is the highest level of ظلم that you can do. The highest level of oppression that you can commit. The oppression that you do between yourself and your Lord. And that is the oppression of shirk. That you associate partners alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, Allah does not forgive that you commit shirk alongside Him. The one who dies upon shirk in the hellfire forever. So the greatest oppression is the oppression that you commit against your Lord. The second type of oppression, the ظلم, which is بين العبد والناس, the oppression that you commit between yourself and other people. When you oppress other people, you take the rights of other people, you have oppressed them, you lie about them, you backbite about them, you do X, Y, and Z, you take their rights, you have oppressed other people. That is a type of oppression. And thirdly, to yourself, the ظلم, the oppression that you do to yourself, what is that? الظنوب والمعاصي, the sins that you do. When you commit sins, you are oppressing yourself. How so? Because every time you commit those sins, you are writing those evil deeds against yourself, which could end up being the cause of you entering into the hellfire or the punishment of the grave prior to that.
so you are making yourself liable to punishment by committing sins. Hence you are oppressing yourself. Three types of oppression. What is the hukm for the first type? The dhulm that you commit between yourself and your Lord, you die upon that dhulm without tawbah, then what is the hukm? Hellfire forever. The one who dies upon shirk without repentance, hellfire forever. The second one, the dhulm between you and other people. You committed dhulm to other people, oppression to other people, and you never repented, never returned the rights, and you die like that. What is the hikam? So you're saying you cannot be forgiven? The ruling on the second type is, in terms of a ruling, that it's not forgiven. Why is it not forgiven? Because on the day of judgment, you must return the rights. So you haven't been forgiven for it. You're not just going to get forgiven and enter paradise. You will have to return the rights. So the ruling is, the oppression you do to other people, it is not forgiven. Because on the day of judgment, you will be forced to return the rights of the ones that you oppressed. Like in the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Do you know who the bankrupt person will be on the day of judgment? The Sahaba, they said, قَالُوا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ وَلَا دِنَارَ لَهِ. The person who doesn't have any money, he's bankrupt. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, it is not that. The bankrupt one on the day of judgment, the muflis, is a person who used to pray, and he used to fast, and he used to do hajj. Then how is he bankrupt on the day of judgment? Because even though he used to do the ibadah, at the same time he used to oppress people, wrong this one and beat that one and take the rights of this one. So on the day of judgment they will all come, and they will start taking their rights back from this person who oppressed them. How? By taking good deeds from his scale. From his weighing scale, good deeds on one side, bad on the other. Every person he oppressed, they will come and be able to take some good deeds away from him for themselves. So justice has been done now. He oppressed them and took their rights. On the day of judgment, justice is done. They come and take some good deeds to make up for it. So the people continue to take the good deeds, all of the ones who he had oppressed, until in the end, all of his good deeds finished. But there are still people left who he had oppressed. So how are they going to get their rights back now? He has no more good deeds left to give. How will those remainder get their rights back? By giving the bad deeds. The ones who are left, they cannot get their right back by taking any good deeds from him. He has none left. So instead, they take some of their own evil deeds out and cast them upon him. They reduce their level of evil deeds, take some out and throw them upon him. Justice has been done. Everybody wants to reduce their evil on that day, increase their good. So they can't increase their good from his anymore. They can reduce their evil at least. Justice is done again. So then that person loses his good and acquires more evil upon his evil side. That is the muflis on that day. So the ruling upon the one who oppresses another, you're not forgiven. On the day of judgment, that justice is performed. The third one, dhulm to yourself. What is the hukm? This one, there's some more details about it, but generally you can say it is forgiven. It can be forgiven. It can be forgiven. You can say it is تحت المشيئة. It is under the will of Allah. On that day, the sins you did to yourself, not rights of other people, sins that you did to yourself, wrongs that you did, maybe you'll be forgiven. There are lots of things that can cause your sins to be forgiven on that day. The terrors and the frights of that day are a means of expiation of your evil deeds too. So maybe they'll be forgiven and they'll be overlooked and you'll be allowed to go to paradise. But then again, those evils that you did, maybe you'll be held accountable upon them and you'll enter hellfire temporarily to be purified from that evil. And then you'll be entered into paradise thereafter. So that is the meaning of the name Al-Mu'min, the one who gives that security and sound and safety to the believers. So when the ayah said that is for the ones who have iman and don't mix it with dhulm, the meaning of it was don't mix it with shirk. So then we move on to the first hadith. Read.
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن يونس قال حدثنا زهير قال حدثنا مغيرة قال حدثنا شقيق بن سلمة قال قال عبد الله كنا نصلي خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنقول السلام على الله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله هو السلام ولكن قولوا التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
Who else?
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن يونس قال حدثنا زهير قال حدثنا مغيرة قال حدثنا شقيق بن سلمة قال عبد الله كنا نصلي خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنقول السلام على الله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله هو السلام ولكن قولوا التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
So this narration Imam al-Bukhari mentions حدثنا أحمد بن يونس. أحمد بن يونس, he is actually أحمد بن عبد الله بن يونس, but he is popularly associated to his grandfather. Yunus is actually his grandfather. He is Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Yunus al-Kufi, and he is Thiqatun Hafidh. Zuhair ibn Muawiyah al-Ju'fi al-Kufi, Thiqatun Thabt. Mughirah ibn Miqsam, with a meme kasra, Miqsam. He is also Kufi, and he is Thiqa Mutqin, Thiqatun Mutqinun illa annahu kana yudallis. Shaqiq ibn Salama al-Asadi al-Kufi, Thiqatun Mukhadram. Mata walahu mi'atu sana, died at the age of 100. Shaqiq ibn Salama al-Kufi, Thiqah Mukhadram. Qala Abdullah. Who is Abdullah? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Not Abdullah ibn Abbas? Not Abdullah ibn Umar? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? Definitely. Anybody else? Ijma'. So it is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, died in the year 32 or 33 Hijri in Medina. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, kunna nusalli khalfa an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fanaqul. He said, we used to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we used to say As-salamu ala Allah, salam be upon Allah. He said, we used to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we used to say, As-salamu ala Allah. Salam be upon Allah. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّلَامُ. Allah, He is السلام. He is السلام. So, the Prophet told them, don't say, Salam be upon Allah. Allah is السلام. And we mentioned already the meaning of that. Free of any deficiency, any shortcoming, any shortfall, any fault, free and sound of all of that. He is As-Salam. So the Prophet said, don't say, Salam be upon Allah. He is As-Salam. Instead say, At-Tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. As-Salamu alayka ayyuhal nabiyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-Salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And everybody knows that, and everybody has memorized that. That is the final section that you recite in the prayer. So they used to say, As-salamu ala Allah. Salam be upon Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, Allah is As-salam. So do not say that. Instead say, and he taught them this form of the dua, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, to the end of it that you all know. This particular chain of narration is musalsal. Musalsal, we discussed, is a chain of narration that has a particular characteristic going all the way through it. Here, Ash-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, it is musalsal by the fact that all of the narrators said حدثنا هذا السند لولا كلمة واحدة فيه لكان مسلسلا بالصيغة فكلها حدثنا. Except at the end, Shaqiq ibn Salama قال Abdullah. Apart from that one, the rest of it would have been مسلسل. It would have all said حدثنا. You could also say it is musalsal in another regard. Kufi, the sanad is Kufi. All of the chain of narration, they are from Kufa. All of the narrators were from the same place. So that could be mentioned too, up until Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who died in Medina. هذا من حسن تعليم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. So in this hadith we see the beautiful manners of teaching from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The excellent way of teaching from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنه لما ذكر الممنوع ذكر المشروع. That when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them something is prohibited, he gave them the alternative which is allowed. And the scholars, they say that is from the good way of giving da'wah. You tell somebody something is haram, give them the alternative from the sunnah which is halal. Tell them this is haram, this is not allowed to do, but the sunnah says you can do this and you can do that, and this is halal and this is allowed and this is reward. So give them the alternatives. Don't just say that's haram, that's haram, that's haram, and then you give them no alternative, teach them nothing what they can do. Rather, you tell them what is haram, what is bid'ah, and guide them to the opposite of what is halal and what is sunnah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he did that. He told them, As-Salam. They were saying, Salam be upon Allah. He said to them, but Allah is As-Salam. Meaning, don't say that. Prohibited them from that. But then gave them what they should say. At-Tahiyyatu Lillah, to the end. So this is from the prophetic mannerisms of teaching. That if you prohibit somebody, you tell them it's haram, it's bid'ah, it's wrong. Tell them then what is sunnah and what is halal and what they can do and what they should do instead. كانوا يقولون السلام على الله وهذه تحية فيسلمون على الله وهذه الكلمة لا تقال لمن لا يمكن أن لا يلحقه نقص. So they used to say, Salam be upon Allah, meaning may Allah be safe and sound from deficiencies. But like we said, that's not possible to make that type of dua for Allah, because Allah is already the one who is completely sound from any imperfection or deficiency. There is no imperfection or deficiency in Allah. So there is no purpose and no correctness in you making that statement. May Allah have that safety and soundness upon him. He already has. So the Prophet ﷺ explained to them that this is incorrect. لِأَنَّ السَّلَامِ إِنَّمَا يُدْعَى بِهَا لِمَنْ يَلْحَقُهُ النَّقْصِ. You ask for safety and soundness for somebody because there is the possibility of deficiency and harm occurring to them. Where there is a possibility of deficiency and harm occurring to somebody, then you make dua that may Allah keep you safe and sound. Salam be upon you. But the one who there is no possibility of deficiency in the first place, then you do not say salam be upon you. Allah is as-salam, the one who is perfect from any deficiency. So the Prophet ﷺ explained that to them and explained to them what they should be saying in its place instead. There is one issue that people always bring up in this part, At-Tahiyyatu Lillah. Which issue? As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. As-salamu alayka. Huna sayaridu ishkal. Here a problem arises for people. وَهُوَ كَافُ الْخِطَابِ فَإِنَّ كَافَ الْخِطَابِ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ تُحَوِّلُهَا إِلَى كَلَامِ آدَمِيِّينَ إِلَى مُخَاطَبَةِ آدَمِيِّينَ أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. The Sheikh says, when you put that kaf, the kaf in Arabic, it means second person, as we say in English. You're talking to somebody, you're addressing somebody. You are talking to someone, you are addressing someone. So, إذا قلت السلام عليك, salam be upon you. You're addressing that person, you're talking to that person. تخاطب الرجل. فكاف الخطاب تحول الجملة إلى كلام آدميين. فكيف نجمع بين هذا وبين قول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام إن هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس. When you put that kaf on, it means you're addressing somebody. It becomes human speech, talking to one another. There is a narration that says, this prayer, you cannot mention any talk one to another within it. You cannot mention any talk one to another within it. So this, people may say, is an issue. Because that is speech one to another, alayka, upon you, like you're conversing. So some of the scholars, they said, الوجه الأول أن هذا مستثنى, that this is just an exception to the rule. This is an exception to the rule. أو that when you say, أن يقال هذا الخطاب لا يراد حقيقته وإنما هو لقوة استحضار المصلي. The second opinion you could say is that this is not intending a literal meaning. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The salam be upon you, O Messenger of Allah, as if he's there and listening and you're talking and having conversation. It is not that meaning. So why would you phrase it that way? لِقُوَّةِ اسْتِحْضَارِ الْمُصَلِّي كَأَنَّ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم وَاجِهًا لَهُ يُخَاطِبُ. Because when you pray from the strength of your focus and your concentration and what you are saying, it is as if you perceive the messenger to be there listening to this dua of yours upon him. It is as if you perceive that the messenger is there and you're saying this dua upon him. It is as if you perceive that from the strength of your khushu', your concentration, your focus in the prayer. Not that the meaning of it is literally the Prophet is, as they will say, hadir, nadir. He is present and looking and everywhere. Not that meaning. But the meaning that from the strength of your focus, it is though you perceive the messenger to be there and you are talking to him. Not that it is literally the case. That is one explanation of the scholars. No problem. That is the reason for everything. Any issue, the default answer is, if it is established in the sunnah, then the default answer to anything is, why do you do it? Because it is sunnah. It is sunnah and we are implementing the sunnah, no problem. But when the people start to bring the issues out of things, then you sometimes require to give detail regarding them. Al-Imam Ahmad said, لَمَّا زَادُوا زِدْنَا. Who? Meaning Ahlul Bid'ah. لَمَّا زَادُوا Ahlul Bid'ah. When they increased in their innovations, زِدْنَا. Meaning in explanation and clarification. When they started bringing all types of innovations more and more, we started making our explanations more and more in depth to refute all of their detailed or whatever types of innovations they brought. So that is another explanation for that. So this hadith, the purpose of it is what? What does it prove? What does the hadith prove there? The chapter was regarding the names of Allah, As-Salamu Al-Mu'minu. What does this hadith show us? That the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna Allaha huwa as-salam. Therefore, affirming the name of Allah, As-Salam, and that was the title heading for this particular chapter. The rest of the dua, you are aware of it. Everybody recites it in the prayer. And we, in fact, went over it previously when we discussed Sifatul Salah. And everybody has that book now available to you. The explanation of Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen of the prayer, Prophet's prayer described, Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen's version. At the end, he gives a detailed explanation of all of this dua, At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi wa Salatu. All of it is explained and translated and the meanings of it are mentioned. So you can refer to that there. The point of this here now was that we have proofs of the names of Allah here, names and attributes of Allah, As-Salam being one of them. Moving on to the next section. Bab qawli Allah ta'ala, Malikin Nas. In this chapter heading, he again quotes another ayah. This time, Malikin Nas. And that is from where? Surah An-Nas. Malikin Nas. قال البيهقي الملك والمالك هو الخاص الملك ومعناه في حق الله تعالى القادر على الإيجاد وهي صفة يستحقها لذاته وقال الراغب الملك المتصف بالأمر والنهي وذلك يختص بالناطقين ولهذا قال ملك الناس ولم يقل ملك الأشياء قال وأما قوله مالك يوم الدين فتقديره الملك في يوم الدين لقوله لمن الملك اليوم. Here the chapter begins with ملك الناس, which you may say the king of all of the people, the, what do they say in the translation of Muhsin Khan? For Malik al-Nas. Translation of Muhsin Khan, what's the word they use? Huh? Check Muhsin Khan translation now. The Lord of Mankind? That's not... So, Lord of Mankind? The King of Mankind. Ah. Your thiqa status has been removed. اختلط في آخر في أوله ما في آخره. So this is the king of all of mankind. The king of all of mankind, Malik. Al-Bayhaqi, he explains some of the meanings of that, that is the one who has the dominion, the one who has the all ability and power to create. And it is a an attribute that is deserving of him alone. Al-Raghib, another one of the scholars, mentioned Al-Malik, meaning the one who has the command. He commands and he prohibits. He is the Malik, he is the king. ويحتمل. And then the Shaykh goes on to give some more of the examples of the meaning of Al-Malik. But Al-Malik is also mentioned here now as one of these names and attributes of Allah. The hadith that we have in this chapter, who hasn't read?
قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن صالح قال حدثنا ابن وهب قال أخبرني يونس عن ابن شهاب عن سعيد هو ابن المسيب عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يقبض الله الأرض يوم القيامة ويضوي السماء بيمينه ثم يقول أنا الملك أين ملوك الأرض.
This narration now, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَد ibn Salih. Already came across him. Ahmad ibn Salih. He was in the previous chains of narration. Ahmad ibn Salih, Abu Ja'far ibn al-Tabari al-Misri, ثِقَةٌ حَافِظ. حَدَّثَنَا ibn Wahab. Came across him already too. Abdullah ibn Wahab, ibn Muslim al-Qurashi, مَوْلَاهُمَ al-Misri. ثقة حافظ. He is Qurashi مولاهم. And he is Egyptian. ثقة حافظ. أخبرني يونس. Who is يونس? يونس ابن يزيد الأيلي. He is ثقة. يونس ابن يزيد الأيلي. عن ابن شهاب. ابن شهاب famous. محمد ابن مسلم الزهري. الفقيه الحافظ. متقن على جلالته متفق على جلالته وإتقانه. He is famous, ابن شهاب. عن سعيد. سعيد here is ابن المسيب المخزومي. اتفقوا على أن مرسلاته أصح المراسيل. He was one of the great scholars of the Salaf, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, famous and well known, and his narrations are from the most accurate. And the Marasil that we've been talking about, his Marasil at the highest level and the most authentic. An Abi Huraira. Abu Huraira is who? What is his name? Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhar al-Dawsi, the most famous opinion about his name. عبد الرحمن بن صخر الدوسي أبو هريرة. And he is from the مكثرين, from the ones who narrated the most narrations. In fact, he narrated the most narrations from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أبو هريرة. He says in this hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يقبض الله الأرض يوم القيامة ويطوي السماء بيمينه ثم يقول أنا الملك أين ملوك الأرض. That on the day of judgment, Allah will grasp the earth and roll up the heavens in his right hand. The heavens and the earth, all of them rolled up into his right hand. And then he will say, أنا الملك, I am the king. أين ملوك الأرض? Where are the kings of the earth? He will roll up all of the heavens and the earth in his hand. And then he will say, I am the king. Where are the kings of the earth? So in this chapter, in this hadith, we see the affirmation of the name Al-Malik as another one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Malik. في هذه الترجمة إثبات الملك اسما من أسماء الله. وقد ورد على ثلاثة أوجه فيما أعلم. As Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, that the name Al-Malik has appeared in three contexts. Mudafan ila nas, mudafan ila din, wa mutlaqan. Mudafan fal mutlaq ka qawlihi ta'ala al malikul quddus. In the absolute sense, in the open sense, al malikul quddus, mentioned in that open way. Sometimes though it is mentioned maliki yawmiddin as one of the recitations that you hear. Instead of maliki yawmiddin, you hear, as you hear in the masjid, maliki yawmiddin. So that is now associated to the day of judgment, the king of the day of judgment, yawmiddin, the day of judgment. And then you also have in a third context when Allah says he is the king of the people, Malik Nas. So the name of Allah is mentioned in those three contexts. But again, this is another one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly when it comes to the in al-Fatiha, when you say Maliki Yawmiddin or Maliki Yawmiddin. The scholars have said this is because of the fear and hope being balanced. Targhib wa tarheeb, balanced. When you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he is the most merciful, this gives you hope. But then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, he is the one in charge and in control and doing the accountability on the day of judgment. That gives you fear for your accountability. So there is hope and there is fear. And that is the way of the believer, balanced between hope and fear in all of his affairs. Love, hope, and fear. So this narration highlights another one of the names of Allah, which is Al-Malik. That is the brief point regarding it. Maybe next time we'll come back to some more of the meanings about Allah grasping the heavens and the earth in his hand on the day of judgment and some of the meanings regarding that. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll carry on with that from the next time, which will be in 2 weeks' time. Next Saturday is postponed, so it will be in 2 weeks' time we carry on with this lesson, inshaAllah ta'ala.